I'm running out of things to do. But hey, hey, and welcome to Game Over. Slightly belated Game Over. But we're happy to be here. A little bit late. Both of us. It's okay. As long as we're here at the same time, it's fine.
And it wasn't our fault.
It wasn't our fault. No, we'll blame it on the universe. But welcome to another episode of Game Over. I am Simon Pazdra, joined by my faithful squad mate, Adam Pazdra. Matt Menier is still locked outside. So just as soon as he can get in, he'll be joining us.
Oh, they don't get that joke, but it's okay.
Yeah, we get it. That's okay. And Farron out there, she gets it too.
She gets the joke.
Yes. So we are here with another episode of Game Over, and we're basically gonna fun over God of War, because holy smokes, that game is good. But last week, you had played a fair amount of it. I had played a little bit of it. I think now we're both basically at the same spot. You're a little further than me. Yeah. But not a significant story ways further than me. Just
I think we're basically the same point story.
We're the same part story wise. But you've done more side questing than me. But I've done a significant amount of side questing. So we're talking about like 10-15% max difference between the two of us. So we're comfortable talking about this game. Wow.
Yeah.
It's boy, it's good. And we're gonna have a very delicate conversation about it. We might have to talk about some spoilers, but rest assured, if you are listening to this, we will leave all the major ones out.
Although, frankly, we haven't seen any huge things. Like, there's nothing that's happened that I've gone, oh, wow,
one or two things.
What? Oh, okay, that one.
Yeah, obviously. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. Oh, except for the major spoiler. There's no major spoiler.
Yeah, but we already skirted over that last
Week. We already skirted. Well, we're going to continue to skirt around this one. We are not going to discuss it because it is worth experiencing. Yeah, man, where do you even start with this game? Like, last week, I was just re-listening to our show. Last week, we basically just talked about sort of the politics and the feeling of it. We didn't even talk mechanically about this game. But even then, like, 2 weeks ago, listening to you guys, you were like, it takes some use to, is it getting a good game? Last week, we had basically each played the first half of the game. You had played a little bit more.
Yeah.
Once you run into, as you said last week, your third travel companion.
Your second travel companion.
Sorry, your second travel companion. Your third of your crew, but your second travel companion. If we're going to split hairs here, then that's sort of halfway through the game. And the game really does pick up after that
in
pacing and in all that kind of jazz in a good way. Like, it feels a very intentional slow burn for the first half. So I'm comfortably now, and I don't think you're going to disagree, but I'd love to get your opinion. I'm comfortable now saying this game is an experience. So I'm going to sound unbelievably pretentious here, but bear with me because I'm the kind of guy who hosts his own video game show. I think I'm allowed to be a little bit pretentious about video games. Some games, and even some of my absolute favorite games of all time, are still games. Okay? So Mass Effect, love it. It's a game. You play Shadow of the Colossus for the first time, that's an experience.
Yes, very much so.
So there are certain things you can put into the, I think everyone's, your first experience, but Dark Souls, that's an experience.
Yeah.
Right? Pokemon, love it. Game. So gamey.
Very gamey.
Right? This game is up in, and I hate like ranking things out of 10, so we're not going to do in this show. I might be tempted to use like a star rating, as in like good, very good, and then like tiers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And whoever in that tier is pure opinion. But this is like the upper echelon of games. So however you want to describe that, it's not perfect, no game is.
No.
But this is a game that should be experienced. As a matter of fact, I even messaged Matt, and hopefully he'll get past that door soon. But I even messaged Matt, and I said, when you get back, you're playing this game.
Yeah.
This goes to the top of your priorities list as what to do. And of course, he's a PlayStation guy, so it even makes more sense. But that's what I'm feeling about. I'm just letting it sort of wash over me. And boy, I'm just adoring it.
I've found that if you encounter it as an experience, it certainly improves your, well, experience. Mm-hmm. The more I think about it as a game, sort of the less I like it. Mm-hmm. And I still think it's amazing. I'm still having a great time. I'm definitely in now.
Yeah.
But the more sort of, and I guess this is kind of inevitable when they cram as much stuff into the game as they have, because there is a lot going on here. But the more I think about it, the more I start to notice little things that sort of drive me crazy. Mm-hmm. But when I sit back and just don't think about that and just relax and let Kratos smash stuff, then I'm having a really, really good time. And as we said before, the story is excellent.
Yeah, the story is what you're playing us for, which is not something like, and it's kind of embarrassing. You could listen to some of our old podcasts, and from like last year when they first announced it into this year, we were like, do we need this? And even until I bought it, like we were late to the party in this one, like a couple months. Yeah. I think it came out early June. It's like a month late, or maybe even May. Doesn't matter. We were late. Because we weren't like, this didn't seem like a priority. And then everyone was just fawning over it. And so it's like, okay, well, I guess we'll try it. And now it's like, yeah, I
get it.
I get it. I totally get it. It's not something that I never knew. I never knew that I needed it until I got it. And now
it's
like
one of those.
Yes. So it's in sort of that category of things. But now that it's there, I'm like, I'm unbelievably happy to have this experience. Yeah. First of all, I think we do need to talk mechanics a little bit more this week. And we could talk feeling.
Yeah.
But is Atreus the best travel companion in video game history?
Yes.
Yeah.
I had to quickly run a mental checklist, but yes.
He pretty much is. Like, if you're worried about when you were looking at the trailers, kind of as we were, is this going to be the sort of, is he going to get annoying? Is he going to have a quip that you're going to be like, what's Atreus? Yeah, oh, shut up. Or, is you know, you're going to have to worry about him. Nope. He pretty much carries his own. He's unbelievably helpful.
Yeah.
You notice, like, you're not doing all the work and he doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
You notice what he does. The relationship between the two of them is fantastic when the second travel companion comes in. Those two have fantastic dialogue, and then Kratos is able to just kind of sit back and take it all in. He is a masterpiece in and of himself, crafting that solid secondary character.
Making a backup character who doesn't feel like a dead weight is really important.
Because I think the top three that I could think of off the top of my head were like Ellie from The Last of Us and Elizabeth.
See, I would probably put actually Ashley from Resident Evil 4 there, just because you could throw her in a dustbin.
Yeah, you can.
And that kind of just made that shot her to the top for me.
Well, I mean,
get out of my way.
Yeah, that was hide in a dumpster while I do all the work.
Yeah.
But like at least Ellie and Elizabeth were active. Elizabeth was purely support, so to speak. Yeah. And I think Ellie eventually did some combat, although that was mostly Joel. But this is like, you're very much sort of playing a co-op. And it works with the father-son angle because it sort of reminds people of playing with like a younger cousin or a younger sibling or whatever. It's like, okay, you do these controls. I'll do these controls, and you can kind of like hang out and do whatever you got to do. But he's unbelievably useful.
Yeah, and they integrate him really well.
Yeah.
In all the things he can do sort of in the outside world, so it makes it feel like he is actually contributing.
Yes. Now, let's talk about, we didn't even get into this last week, the combat system. You guys got into a little bit 2 weeks ago. We're going to go delve further into it now because we've basically maxed out our skill trees. You can actually max out your skill tree relatively early, which I thought was actually really smart. I wish more games did that, where you max out probably 2/3 of the way through the game, because in some games, like let's take a game that I adore, Infamous.
Right.
You finally get all your powers at the very end of the game. How many games can you say that about?
A lot.
You're like finally fully spec'd, and the only thing left to fight is the final boss. In this one, you're fully spec'd, and you still got like a third to half of the game to go.
Yeah, depending on how quickly you...
So you have time to revel and enjoy your power.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. Like I even mentioned to you, I think it was a few days ago, where I was playing it, and for a while there, like the first probably half of the game, I enjoyed it, but I was kind of struggling with the combat. I felt I was fighting against the combat, against the enemies.
Yeah.
And then for whatever reason, I just started to have a mind meld, and the two of us fused together, and it clicked, I got it, and it felt so good.
Yeah, one of the things that took me a while to learn, because I was looking at the skill tree, and one of the negatives is a lot of the stuff in the skill tree you look at and you go, I'm never going to use that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've discovered is there's a lot of stuff you're just going to do by accident.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to have, like, just... So I just bought everything, and I'm like, and occasionally he'll do something I wasn't expecting. I'm like, oh, that's what that does.
Yeah, you weren't even expecting to do it, but just sort of, they're done in a way where if you mean to do them intentionally, it looks great.
Yeah.
But also, a lot of them are kind of things that you might button mash by accident.
Yeah.
It's very well done. Now, even in some of the interviews that I was listening to, because another point that I want to make is, particularly with this one and with Spider-Man, we're getting a lot more auteur input in these games. Like, I've seen a lot of, first of all, the guy, Corey Barlog, I mentioned him last week, too. He's done interviews with everybody.
Yeah.
You know, you can find literally everything. In fact, he also uploaded a video of him looking at the first review scores when the game came out.
Yeah.
And he started to cry. And I was like, man, that's like 5 years of your life. Like, I hope people like it, and then people adore it. So I can only imagine what that would do to you. But yeah, you can find interviews with him everywhere. The same thing for Brian Dehar, I believe that's his name. Brian's definitely his name from Spider-Man. It's like, I really like hearing the actual vision from the people behind it. Too often games, these sort of corporate conglomerate that it sort of spits out, where like it just like sits over it and sort of lays the egg that is the game. It's like, how did we come here? I really like the human element.
Well, and it's not the extreme other end, which is Peter Molyneux.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I'll defend Peter Molyneux to my dying day. He is mad.
Yeah.
That man is bonkers. He's off the wall. But I love it because someone needs to be. You know, instead of too many games coming under, like, NHL doesn't dream enough. NHL needs Peter Molyneux. Okay? He would have that series whipped into shape in a half a second, and you know it.
It'd still probably be disappointing, but it'd be disappointing in a very different way.
It would be a dream. It would be a disappointment.
He'd be coming out and saying, you can play hockey on the moon.
At least it would try.
That's true. That'd be something.
We will debate Peter Molyneux until our dying days, because I'm one of the few people who loved the Fable series. Anyway, not the point. I really like hearing what Corey has to say and then how, you know, his life impacted the thing. And I think that's really strong. Now, where I was going with that 5 minutes ago was that he said when they were designing the game, they didn't want to be compared to Dark Souls.
Yeah.
And too often you hear the Dark Souls of blank, the Dark Souls of blank. So I don't want to say this, but...
but...
this is the first game since Dark Souls where the combat, melee combat, has had this much weight. And that was what originally drew me to Dark Souls. I talked about it before. I didn't like Skyrim because it felt like I slashed, and then just the number
and
came up.
And nothing happened, yeah.
There was a fundamental, disconnect between my attacks and what the enemy was feeling in 90% of the games. That's why guns work, because guns make sense for chipping away.
Yeah.
But in a lot of sword fighter games, especially the hack and slashes, even... definitely the old God of War, it was you do these slashes which have no visible effect beyond the health getting down until all of a sudden you hit a thing and then they collapse.
Fall over, yeah.
Dark Souls did that masterfully. This game maybe even does it better. That Leviathan axe that you get has so much weight. Yeah. And every time he swings it, you do feel like this is the swing.
Crunch, yes.
Of a god.
Until you look at how much damage it does, and you go, oh, maybe not.
Yeah, it definitely needs to be upgraded at some points. And then, but once you, like, it's not a, for the fact that you're a god of war, and this even came up again. I feel like I'm quoting his interviews. But people brought up, it's like, how can you be a god of war and struggle with, like, mooks? It's like, well, there are certain concessions you need to make for the fact that there needs to be a game. Like, how can you be a god of war who can lift the world with Atlas in God of War 3 and struggle with a chest? Because it's a game. Okay, you just have to get over that. And so in this game, you will get your butt kicked if you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
But at some point, you will. We both did. And if you're playing this game, you will too. You will meld with the game. Something will click. It'll just make sense. And then you'll have the time of your life.
I feel like this, like I agree with you that, because that's one of the things I was talking about, is if you sit down and think about it too much, that's one of the holes that becomes obvious. But he's right. Like, you have to make some concessions for it to be a game. But I do think that this could have been a candidate in sort of the Superman bucket of the reality is nothing here can threaten you.
Yeah.
So they should find out with another failure condition.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have to do that. And obviously they didn't do that. But I think this was definitely a place where they could have tried to do that.
Yeah.
Especially once. And again, I guess that's a spoiler.
Don't talk about it.
I won't say it.
Well, you know what? Well, we only have a few minutes. Well, we have 10 minutes left. So we'll do. I don't think it's a major spoiler, but I do think it's a spoiler. So if you're out there and you're worried about playing God of War, Ron, close your ears. I know we just haven't played in the halls. So I guess that's nice that we're doing this in the summer. So spoiler warning. Not the big spoiler, but spoiler warning. So you're a god.
Yeah.
Shocker.
Yes.
When you come into this, you have a son, Atreus. He is a. You think he's a human. He thinks he's a human. But obviously, if you're a god, not
then
a spoiler. He must be a god. And so, again, slight spoiler. At some point, he finds out he's a god.
Yes.
I don't think it's necessarily a spoiler to say that. It's a spoiler to say when.
Yeah.
And what happens.
Why.
So we won't go into that.
No.
But when that actually comes up, I thought that was really well handled.
I thought it was too, but I was also sort of expecting the shackles to come off a little.
Yeah, so that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, and Kratos to show off a little more.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I mentioned this last time, your first fight with the stranger, who we won't reveal, when you do that really cool thing where you, take a deep breath and all your wounds close, it's like, I've been fighting, monster demon things. I'd really like it if that had happened again at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, you can heal health, but only when the director wants you to heal. And so that's just one of those things you're going to have to make concessions. But in defense of the game, not that it needs it because it's great, but I feel like it's paced well enough. But by the time the god thing comes up, you're far enough into the game that you should be able to handle the mooks.
Yeah.
So at the beginning, and it's very easy to, the way I imagine in my head, my own headcanon, it was sort of like the old Prince of Persia thing, where it's like, no, that's not how it happened. I didn't actually die there. That's how it happened. It's like, okay, I just did Kratos wrong, but he wouldn't have lost there, obviously.
Because he's the god of war.
Yeah, exactly. So that's just how I envisioned it in my head.
I guess that's not a terrible thing.
But again, the fact that I have to do that, I suppose you could say, is a negative to the game. My only real negative is the bosses, considering that it's god of war. There aren't as many bosses and as many big up. There's a lot of trolls.
Yeah. But I wouldn't really count them as a boss.
Yeah, and
in fact, have there been any bosses? Really?
Well, there's a dragon.
Yeah, okay.
That's a decent boss fight, but yeah, that's there's not a lot.
Yeah.
I was watching one of these interviews, because I just find the making of this game fascinating. I love the making of. That's why I still buy Blu-rays. And they were talking about how the trolls have names, and it's because there's lore in the world about how trolls used to be a civilization, and then Odin basically smited them because Odin's a jerk in this world. And then now these are like the last remaining trolls, and they're kind of bitter at the world, which is why they're ready to attack
them.
You.
Lovely.
And you're killing them, which is why they all have names. It's not just like a troll, it's that troll.
That specific troll.
So when you look at it that way, I see why it made sense from them. But before hearing me say that, did you know that? Because I didn't know that.
No, I didn't know the civilization thing.
Exactly.
Because that's not one of the things that comes up in the lore.
Right,
really.
So it's that. The fact that that's there is great, but it's not effectively communicated to you, which means partial credit.
Yeah, and a lot of people are going to miss it.
A lot of people are going to miss it.
Yeah, I think that sort of... And the other thing that frustrates me... And again, we're spending a lot of time nitpicking, but don't mistake us. This game is fantastic. You need to play it right now.
I mean, if you feel like they were nitpicking, rewind to the first 5 minutes where I was like, this game is in the upper echelon. It's a masterpiece.
No. But back to the nitpicking.
You play the bad cop, I'll play the good cop.
Exactly.
Every time you say something bad, I'll be like...
But this is also great. No, I forgot where I was going with that.
Whoops.
Oh, we were talking about the trolls and the lack of boss fights. That was And I think one of the things that frustrates me is that the story is this is a sort of a moving the goalposts kind of story. Because at the beginning of the game, the goal is go spread the boy's mom's ashes.
Yeah.
And we're at the point where we've both gotten the message of basically the end game is coming. Do your side questing now.
Yeah.
And that's still our goal.
Yeah.
And I'm going, this game is called God of War. Why has my goal not been murder all the Norse gods yet?
Well, I mean, it Kratos does come up, yeah.
He's mellowed out a bit.
Yeah.
Kratos has mellowed out a bit. But I'm not playing a game called God of War for emotional maturity.
We might have to do, hit up on Facebook, Game Over UMFM, if you want to hear this. But I think what we might have to do is our own spoiler cast, where we just recorded something and put up purely as a podcast.
Yeah.
Because I'm not comfortable talking about this level of spoilers on there. But I totally agree. And actually, again, let me just be a parrot for something I heard in an interview. But it sounded like, and I think that a lot of people are in that boat with you, and people even probably outside, and I had that idea. Like, when you hear God of War in Norse mythology, it's like, okay, cool. First game, you're going to kill Thor. Next game, you're going to kill Odin. Like, you can just tick it off. The final bosses are going to be in that order, right? And maybe that's going to be in the sequels. Who knows? Who knows how much of the Norse pantheon is going to be done by the time we're done.
Yeah.
But certainly this game is not that. And so they were talking about how when they were writing it, they had most of a script done, most of a story done, and then Corey said, the game director, said, no, we're writing the second game. We need to have the first game. And so very much this first game, if you're buying this game purely because you want to kill all the Norse gods, you might not have the best time. This is a father-son story.
Yeah.
And I think the acting, first of all, the graphics of this game are magnificent.
Except for the lava effects, which are weirdly crap.
Yeah, but we're playing on a regular PS4, maybe on the PS4 Pro in 4K. That looks better.
Yeah, but the rest of the game does look great.
It's a magnificent looking game.
Yeah.
And the acting between the two
leads.
And even, there's only eight characters in this game, honestly.
That speak, yeah.
There's not that many. And the acting between the minor characters is phenomenal, but the act between the two characters is otherworldly. Probably the best acting that I've seen in a game. And there's a particular moment, the moments after the big revelation with your son's proper heritage, there are two of them that I really like. One where Atreus kind of gets ahead of himself, and Kratos puts his... Who isn't actually called Kratos in the game, by the way. They kind of skip that out. Have you noticed? No one actually calls him Kratos?
That's true. I haven't...
Something to think about.
I think his name's been said. I feel like it has.
Where? I heard in an interview someone said, yeah, they don't actually say it. And I'm like, yeah, that's true, they don't. They call him his old nickname.
Once.
Yeah,
and
once.
And then he gets very mad at that.
Exactly. Which we won't delve into. But there's two moments. So one where Kratos basically like puts his arm on his son's shoulder and is like, look, we're not men, but we're better. And that doesn't mean that we're above them. That means that we have more responsibility and that we have a duty to do the things that they cannot. And it's like, man, considering where he came from in the previous trilogy, that sentiment from this character is startling.
You missed the best line of that speech, though.
Which is
that you have to be better than me.
Yeah, at the end, he's like, you have to be better than me.
And I went, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of does.
He kind of does. It's a really good moment between, again, and this is all actually acted. That's why they had to change the voice actor, who, again, I think I actually prefer him to the old guy. Don't tell him I said that. But Christopher Judge, who plays Kratos, he's in Stargate if people haven't seen
Teal'c.
Him. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, he's
wow.
Great.
And not the animations that you're playing the game in, but a lot of the cutscenes are actually acted by these two guys, and boy, they nail it. Yeah. And the other scene that I really liked is immediately after they find out the thing, they kind of share a drink. It's like a rite of passage. Okay, now they like they find some old Greek wine.
Really old.
Really old. And then Atreus is like, is it supposed to smell like this? And then Chris is like, yep.
Yeah.
And then Atreus has like the tiniest sip and then can barely handle it. And Kratos has like the longest swig ever.
Yeah,
just chugs the rest of it.
Yeah,
that was really good.
Good.
But it does, and we'll have to keep talking about this more. Man, we just run out of time. It's so good. But the questions that it brings up about godhood, the question that it brings out about redemption arcs, so much stuff about just the philosophy of this game is next level. But we're basically out of time, so I will give you the final word because I've taken the previous many.
many words. Well, you know, you're right because we're going to have to come back to this next week, and if the TV talkers aren't on, we'll steal the whole hour.
Although, full disclosure, we're thinking about doing an NHL
That's right. Yes, sorry.
Prep review next week.
If we do that. Okay.
Yeah.
But at some point, we'll have to talk more about God of War, certainly.
Yes.
But it's great, and it's just so dense. Like, there's so much we could discuss. Like, we could take up a whole hour discussing one topic, but there's so much of this game we just haven't even talked about. We were going to talk about the mechanics today, and we barely did that.
Yeah, we only talked about really the combat. We didn't talk about
but
the puzzle
it's just,
here
like, you got to experience it for yourself. Stop
Please,
listening
yes.
to us. Go out and play
Please
it,
play
and
it.
Then come back and listen to our podcast.
You know what I love, too? I've watched a bunch of reviews of this game just to kind of see how everyone feels. And there's some people who weren't as high on it as we were, but sort of like when that Infinity War came and Thanos demands your silence, and so people tried to like stay quiet with Infinity War spoilers.
Yeah.
I've watched so many reviews of this game, and like 95% of them are absolutely, like, they feel like they're talking about the entire game, and yet when you play the game, you're like, oh, I see why they didn't talk about this.
Yeah.
And so it's well done. We're going to be in that boat, too. Oh, speaking of boats, they tell a lot of stories in boats. It's great.
They do. It's absolutely fantastic.
But we're out of time. So NHL 19, the beta is out. People can download the beta. We're going to be, hopefully, if everything works out. If it doesn't work out, we're going to be talking more about God of War next week. But if it does work out, we're going to be talking about NHL 19 and NHL 18 next week. But that's all. That's
With
all we have time
guest.
For. With a special guest. Hopefully. It's still kind of in the works.
Yeah.
But stay tuned for another great episode of TV Talkers. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.